Good morning and welcome to the Garden Conversation. And today we are out in a garden that I've been at before, but it's been a while since I've been at Rebecca Brewer's.
Hi.
Welcome. And it's a lush, beautiful garden, and it's a beautiful sunny day. So what else can you ask? So what we're going to do today, because we're going to run out of time, we're pretty sure, but we're going to start on one edge of her garden, and we're just going to talk about things. Every year there's something different, and mm-hmm. so that's what we're going to do. And so the first row here is your brassica row. So
yeah.
One thing I want to say, the first one that we're going by here is there's this really beautiful lacinato. Is that how you say that? Kale?
Yeah, this is a lacinato crossed with a red Russian.
Mm-hmm.
And the red Russian I used to grow was very successful here,
mm-hmm.
But it didn't hold well when I sold it,
uh-huh.
and it would wilt on me. So mm-hmm. that's why you don't see red Russian at the market hardly ever,
because it wilts a lot.
It wilts mm-hmm. quickly, yeah.
And white Russian is mm-hmm. even a little bit the same. I grew a white
and
Russian,
white. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But they're very close to their wild ancestor, and they're a really vigorous mm-hmm. plant. So I started growing this because it's a lacinato crossed with a red Russian.
So it's got the vigor, but yet mm-hmm. it has the lacinato.
It has the lacinato holding mm-hmm. capacity, and then it has the vigor of the red Russian. And it's called blue kale, and it will have this purplish blue stripe down the middle.
It's beautiful.
And it's very, very vigorous, does great here, and you can find it at Territorial Seed Company.
Okay. Yep. So we're walking by lots of cabbages right now that here, even in the end mm-hmm. of July, I guess it's the beginning of August now.
Yeah.
They're heading up. They're beautiful. And we're walking by some broccoli here.
Yeah.
And what's going on here?
Well, I wanted to ask you, and I've heard about people getting this.
Mm-hmm.
You can see, if you look at the roots, and I'm pulling back a little bit of soil here,
mm-hmm.
what I noticed was the plants kind of fell over onto their side
a
little bit.
Yellowed and
And they
not
didn't
happy.
Die, but mm-hmm. at the surface you can see the root is white.
And
it's
bulbous
mm-hmm. and it's lumpy.
All clumped up.
And it looks very unhappy.
Yep. You've got club root.
There you go. Club root. And
then
it looks like a club, pretty much.
Yeah. And it affects yeah. all brassicas.
Okay.
So it affects even brassica weeds, but it'll affect arugula, anything in the cabbage family.
Okay.
And
so it will affect kale?
It will. It will affect kale. It'll affect broccoli, cauliflower.
Anything.
But you'll find, in my research on it, I found different places said, ooh, it really affects mm-hmm. this one a lot.
Ah.
And I found in my experience, it mm-hmm. has affected, it affected my broccoli. I haven't had a problem with it for quite a few years. So I discovered this. My mm-hmm. history with it is I discovered in my garden about 10 years ago, and I went into a panic, mm-hmm. kind of like you did. You called me and said, oh my goodness,
do I pull the plant out? What do I do?
Yes.
But it is a bacteria the plant can deal with.
You know what it is? I did some research on this. It's a protista. Protist.
Oh.
It's a new word for me.
Yeah.
And it has animal, plant, and fungal characteristics.
Mm.
That's what this thing do in this. Mm. So the main thing that you need to know about it is that it likes alkaline soil. So if you have acidic soil, you're going to have less of a problem.
Okay.
It's opposite. If you have alkaline soil, you're going to have less of a problem. It likes the acidic soil.
Oh,
so
it likes acidic.
Put lime in, and you will have less
sweeter.
Problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm convinced that that's one of the reasons that I have been able to live with it and not really have problems. I have very alkaline soil.
Oh, okay.
So that's mm-hmm. that's probably the most important thing to know about controlling this disease. Know that you got it because it lasts 20 years.
Raise the pH.
Okay. That is one of the best treatments for it. So, but also don't panic because, you know, you're still getting broccoli off this plant.
Yes,
it doesn't look.
It definitely didn't kill the plant.
Yeah.
It definitely stressed the plant out. It got some yellow leaves. It kind of fell onto its side a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but still producing side shoots and it happened actually after I harvested the main head and stressed the plant out.
Yeah, so, interesting. It was probably anyway, in there.
It was probably there was waiting there. For yeah. the plant waiting to be to vulnerable.
Yeah, that's right. I have been very careful about not putting any of my roots or anything into my compost because I did not want it to spread.
Right, so containing it.
But in doing some research, I have realized that canola, it's a big problem in canola crops. I didn't know canola was a brassica, but it can devastate canola crops. And so that's where a lot of the research has been done because that's where the money is. Mm-hmm. And they say to till it back into the soil, which doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But I read that in numerous articles.
With canola.
And they said just, you know, you can compost it, you can put it back in the soil. I guess the idea is that it's going to be there. The spores are there, so it's going
to
be there
so
anyway.
So we have to create conditions that
it doesn't thrive.
Inhibit it.
Yeah.
What about adding compost when you put your start into the ground?
Mm-hmm.
What about, you know, making an area all around the compost where you or around the base of the plant when you're digging in the soil? What about adding, you know, a nice mixture of compost at that planting time to disrupt any overgrowth that might be in there.
And to create a situation where the good microbes and the bacteria can override the stuff that you...
And I've had that success with, like, damping off disease, which is a fungus, disrupting what's in the soil...
Mm-hmm. Changing the ecosystem, basically,
is what you're
doing.
You're changing the flora. You're putting a probiotic in the soil with compost. And you said you even put compost in with your potting mix.
I do. I always put compost in with my potting mix. And the one thing that I have made a change as a result of finding club root in my garden is I no longer plant, because I put it in with my my planting soil, I always go get compost that I know could not have any club root in it. Because there's no question that the younger plants, if it gets hit with club root as a young plant, it's way more vulnerable like this one here, which is an older plant.
It was pretty much a full-grown plant when it got hit with it.
So that's the one thing that I've done that has worked very successfully for me is I just make sure that I don't use any of my own compost in my planting, in my starts. So they're
to bring it in from elsewhere.
Yeah. Only for that.
Buy a bag of it or whatever.
Okay,
and
let's
then, shift that biome, if you will.
Let's move from the brassicas to the next row here is carrots, which why on earth do you have them covered with Remay?
Well, the spring was so cold and wet, and that's something that I really have to be careful of in this garden because it's a low and wet context here. The soil holds moisture and in the spring, super cold and wet. So I think what I did in the beginning is I rotted a bunch of my carrot seed and or I may have had some slug predation, but I was having a terrible time getting them to germinate. The other thing I remembered was that some of the seed I planted was like 3 years old. So you're going to get way less germination with carrots and lettuce both.
Yes, they do. It's about
really,
3 years that they lose it.
Yeah, at the third year, look at your seed packet. Next time, I'm not even going to bother if the seed is 3 years old. You lose so much vigor in the seed. So 1 to 2 years, and that's it.
With carrots and lettuce both.
And I was reminded of that lesson this year on both of those.
Well, then you never know if you plant those, then you don't know, oh, is it the seeds or is it? What happens with my carrots every year is I have some little critter that is, I think it's a critter, that's eating them off. I see them emerge and I'm all happy because, oh, good, my carrots are germinating. And then the next day I go out
They're gone.
And it's like, what happened to them?
Who was it?
Yeah.
They come out in the night.
And I haven't figured it out, whether it's baby slugs,
whether
it's other critters. I haven't figured it out, but it's very frustrating. So you covered it with Remay.
I did.
And you found
to try and offset the cold and wet, and it
because
did
it was
help.
So cold this
it really did help with the germination rate. So that's, I've never done that before. I could probably take it off now. They're looking pretty good.
They're looking better than my carrots.
That was two lessons from this spring. Fresher seed and avoiding that cold, wet area. A lot of seed packets will say, oh, plant as soon as the soil is workable.
Mm-hmm. Well,
that's not the case up here, I think, a lot of times. Because the soil is so cold and wet, it's just going to rot the seed.
Yep.
I've rotted my peas many times. I've rotted potatoes, rotted
especially
carrots.
Especially if you have really wet seed, or wet soil,
wet
rather.
Soil. It stays wet.
And it stays wet, yeah. I can get by with that a little bit better. I have planted pretty much out of the snow sometimes, but I have really good drainage, and that makes
very
a
different.
Big difference.
Very different.
It's why it's one of the reasons why we have this joke that anything that works in Rebecca's garden doesn't work in mine. And
You're alkaline and well-drained, and I'm acidic and staying soggy.
Yeah.
Which has its advantages.
So we've talked about some of the problems. Let's talk about one. I'm seeing onions here that are extremely successful.
Yeah, they're looking really nice.
Highlander onions. Highlander onions.
Highlander and Patterson. Mm-hmm. Just watering them from below, using the drip tape.
Mm-hmm.
I keep them under remit.
Because onions like water.
Yeah, but not really from above, is what I've read. It spreads diseases with onions.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
You added some fertilizer.
Yep.
Onions like fertilizer.
Yep, I did. I used this. It was a chicken manure, an organic chicken manure that I got from Scott Hansen. Mm-hmm. It's an 861. Mm-hmm. I don't know. They just got super happy, I think, just because the dry, sunny stretch.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the dry sun came on in, end of June there, they just took
off.
They
flourished, yeah.
And
that's
what amazing.
Onions like heat. And you keep them covered with Remay because of the heat, right? Is that why
they
you're
like
doing
it
that?
Better under there consistently.
Okay. Okay.
Highlander for the, the shorter keeping, 6 months. Patterson keeps about 12 months. Those are looking awesome. Okay. So let's celebrate a little success.
And
there.
Speaking of heat, let's walk into the little hoop house greenhouse here.
Yeah.
And we've got about 4 or 5 minutes, or 4 minutes. We've got some beautiful cucumbers here.
These are baby Persian. You harvest them when they're about 4 or 5 inches long, and they produce tonnages of them.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're not necessarily a pickling, even though they're 4 or 5 inches.
I have pickled them. They're not the best for that.
Because it gets soft?
A little bit soft. Yeah, not like a Vertina.
Yeah.
But they do better with my colder, wetter soil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons I've stuck with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I like eating a small cucumber.
Mm-hmm. And here we have some tomatoes. Let's talk about this because we're experiencing the same thing. We have an unknown disease.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do some research on it and figure it out. It almost looks like a mold, or not a mold, a fungus on it.
Yeah.
And then it makes the leaves turn brown from the tips.
Starts on the tips and works its way back towards the stem.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually kills this whole leaf stem.
The leaf. Mm-hmm.
And killing the whole plant, but it makes it look really unhappy.
And it's a little unusual that it's at the top of the plant that the browning is happening. Mm-hmm. I always cut off my lower leaves.
Right.
A tomato plant does not need all of those leaves in the bottom.
Lower leaves.
They need ventilation
much been
more
trimmed
than.
Off.
Yep. But this is we're seeing the brown on the top. And so you're taking them off, and that's what I've done, too.
I don't know what else to do, really.
Yeah.
It's I thought when I looked at the internet, it was some kind of blight. Tomatoes can get all kinds of diseases, which I didn't know. But
we're lucky here because we don't have the heat that causes most of those blights.
Okay.
Tomatoes are, most people talk about tomato diseases as being one of the biggest problems they have in growing tomatoes. But we don't really have that here.
And I've never had this in my tomatoes before, so I was a little bit distraught. But
it's something that I'm going to do some research. Maybe in future shows I'll be able to come to some conclusion.
And so I did try the Epsom salt, and that's one thing you can do if your plants are looking unhappy. You can try Epsom salt
Tomatoes and peppers.
Tomatoes and peppers.
What's the ratio for that? Is it a tablespoon in a gallon?
1 tablespoon per gallon. Dissolved it really well.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on the foliage and on the ground around it.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely gives them a hit of magnesium.
Mm-hmm. Which opens up the pathway for the plant to be able to get other nutrients is really what that magnesium does.
Okay, interesting.
So
that was one thing to try, and you can try it plants getting unhappy. Sally recommended that to me to green up the tomatoes But this, after I tried it, I didn't really see a big improvement. So this is something else that I'm dealing with. It's some kind of
You're still getting some tomatoes.
Oh, absolutely. So. They're still producing. And
before we end here, I have to go comment on this beautiful display of, oh my goodness, there's dozens of small wonder squash here. And unbelievably, at the beginning of August, they're already ripe. They're turning orange
on the vine, which usually I harvest them green and ripen them inside.
And that works fine.
It totally works. But this year, it just shows the wide variety of what can happen in Haines.
Just amazing.
This year, they're turning orange at the beginning of August.
And so when did you plant these? Did you plant them during that cold time in June, in early June?
I waited as long as I could until they were virtually crawling out of their pots. Mm-hmm. I waited for the cucumbers and the squash as long as I could and then protected them in here in the tunnel. Mm-hmm. And they made it.
Okay, we could talk about this a long time, but Joni's going to say, time's up. So Joni's not here to do that. So I'm going to say that. Thank you so much for letting me walk through your garden. Yeah. There's a ton we could talk about. It's looking beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks for coming.